Okay, that's it. All right. Well, we this is another process word, but this is a little different one. This is a transformation. And although it's not in there as transformation, but you know it is a process that's taking place in us. And you could also call it conformation, which is the same word to a degree, but spelled differently. And as I'm studying again, I'll say this again. When I'm looking at these words and I look at, they all fit together. And you get a picture of just how much God has done for us. Like we were talking about last week, is so many things that just those words, we haven't even covered all of them, but when you see those words, you realize that God has made it foolproof. He has made our salvation foolproof. And there's nothing, you couldn't undo this if you wanted to. Where he says, you know, all things are of God. And I think Sherry was, you know, asking the question, you know, about, you know, who's going to hell. My question, actually it's a more important question, would be after the Lord, after you trust Christ for salvation, is who can? After he seals you, after he's done all these things, and you look at it, you look, how in the world can you be worried about it? But if you don't know what he's done, look at this in Acts, or Romans. And actually, this will lead into our lesson, but when he goes through just Romans, which is a foundational book to establish him, you look at Romans chapter 7, or 7, Romans chapter 11, I'm sorry. Romans 11. We got it right. Romans 11. And we kind of pick and choose here. Verse 29 says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." Salvation is a what?
Gift.
A gift. It's not without repentance. That means he won't change his mind about that.
That's right.
When you trust him, he said, you know what? You have it. They can't be undone. Not even by you. If you want it to, it can't be undone. Verse 33. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." So think about that. Oh, the depth of the riches. Not only of the wisdom of God and knowledge, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Wow. He said, who has known the Lord? Who has known the mind of the Lord? It's another verse, I think, in Corinthians. Who has known the mind of the Lord that they might instruct him? Mm-hmm. But you know what? And he's put these things in his word for us. You know what? We're members of his body. You know, we're going to get to the transformation in a minute. There's a verse that, like Moses, the Lord spoke to him face to face. Abraham was called the friend of God. You remember that passage in Genesis where he said, "Shall I keep this thing from Abraham?"
Yes.
You know, and Abraham was a friend of God. But he says we are members of his body. Of his flesh, of his bones. We have a intimate relationship with him. And in the Gospels, the Lord says this. He says, "You are no more my servants," he says, "but you're my friends." He says, because a servant knoweth not what his master doeth. And over here, like Paul says, you know what? He's revealed all this to us. His innermost counsels he's revealed to us through the Pauline epistles. Has he not?
Mm-hmm.
And all we have to do, you know what, is read it and we'll find out what God is doing and how he's doing it today. You don't have to guess, you know, wonder what is the will of the Lord? And he says, for of him and through him and to him are what?
All things.
To whom be glory forever. Amen. And I think about this. Paul has said some things up to this point. He has said a lot of things up to this point. From Romans 1 to 11, 36. And then, because of those things, he says, verse 12 and 1. Now we get into our lesson. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, there's our word, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And again, we'll start with, you know what, to get a vocabulary, a foundation. Transformation, what does it mean? It means to change. And to change a form or to change a shape. That's our definition. Which is, I mean, that's what it means. It's accurate. But you know what? God's definition of that is a little deeper. It has a little more substance to it. And we'll look at that. But Paul says, after all these things, he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. All those things, merciful. He's been merciful to us. He's given us some things that we don't deserve. And he hasn't given us what we do deserve, what we did deserve. That's why all Paul's epistles, they start off with grace and peace. There's a couple back in Detroit. That's how I would call them. They'd answer their phone. Grace and peace. And, you know, I thought, well, that's a little strange. But you know what? That's scriptural, isn't it?
Yes.
And it is. You think about it, that's his official attitude towards us today. He's not angry. All these mercies he's given us. And he says, this is your, present your body, this is your reasonable service. After all, you know, you sit down and you weigh it out and you say, if one died for all,
all were dead.
And they that live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but to him that died and rose again. Shouldn't we?
Yes.
That's the least you can do. He says, and be not conformed to this world. Now here you have two opposing words. God wants you to be what?
Transformed.
So he's saying, but don't be conformed to the world.
Be conformed to the image of his son.
Right. And those are similar words, but a little different. Conformed, in this case, means to be, don't be cut out. Don't be shaped out like the world. It's the word where we get the word schematic from. You know what a schematic is? It's like a pattern. They're all cut out the same. So we should be not like the world, being shaped and formed by the world. You know, I think about how you got cookie cutter houses. And I was thinking about when I was reading this, it's like an assembly line where those cars come off and they're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
All of them look the same, shaped the same, and they're just pumping them out in the plant. And I thought about in Ephesians chapter 2. This is what being conformed does for you. You can't tell the difference between the saved person or the lost person. Ephesians 2. He says, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, I'm using this because we look at the confirmation process is taking place now. The system is like the plant. It's like the automobile plant. It's tailored to conform you to this world. The system is tailored to keep you looking down, not up. Where Paul says, if you then be risen with Christ, he says, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. But if I don't want you to change, then I'll keep you looking on things of the earth. What were we talking? We were talking about all these earthly things that we get bogged down with. You know, our schedule, things that I want to do, you know, you rush home. I was talking to somebody today about that, and they were saying Sunday they were brought up in a church, and now they got in a situation where they were being conformed by a partner to the world. And when she looked up, she said, I was in church Sunday after Sunday. She said, I looked up, and Sunday it was my wash day. That's the day I used to wash my clothes. So before she knew it, you know what? She went from hearing the word of God on a regular basis on Sunday to sitting at home washing clothes and other things on Sunday. Not a week, not a month, not even a year, not even 2 years, not even 3 years. 4 years she missed service. Because she had been cut out. She had been conformed by the system that she was in and didn't know. She looked up and it was, how did I get over here? Well, he said, what is it? Back to Romans. He says, be not what?
Conformed.
It happened. It happened to her. And that's the problem with confirmation is, you know what? It's just a little bit at a time. And before you know it, you know what? You fit right in.
Everybody likes you.
Everybody likes you. You, and then you look at it like, wow, what happened? That's what it. You ever heard the story about the frog? You put the frog experiment
in the water.
In the water.
Turn up the heat.
Same thing. Condition. He says, but be not conformed to this world. That's the world over there. That most people, you would talk to a saint, and they don't believe that Satan is the god of this world. Did you know that Satan was the god of this world?
Absolutely.
I didn't. I had no clue.
He's the, and we just read that verse.
I do now, but
so that means it's all at his disposal, and he does what he will with the system. So you look up, and it won't surprise you that the majority of us, saints, professing saints even, are being conformed to the world, to the system. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. There you go. Transform. Confirmation is where we get the word schematic from, you know. Cut out, drawing. This transform is where we get the word, it's a metamorphosis. Confirmation is from the outside in. Transformation is from the inside out. Morph, you know, to change form. Not shaping like this person or not shaping yourself like that, but it's something that's inside of you already that's being developed, that's it's growing, it's changing inside. He said, but you, he said, be transformed. How do you do it? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Demonstrate it. But you don't demonstrate it until you get a what? Until you get a renewed mind.
Until it starts to work out.
Until whatever's in there starts to develop and grow, and after a while you can't hold it in. That's the natural process. It'll grow out, right? Now this is I look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I was thinking of when it's in you already, you don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to pretend. And 2 Corinthians. I didn't write that down. 11. 2 Corinthians. Yeah, that's it. And Paul. 2 Corinthians. Yep. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul makes a statement about some people that he ran into in Corinth that they were giving him a hard time. And he said in verse 13, 2 Corinthians 11, 13, he said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers," doing what? Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is what? Transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be what? As ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, here's a group of people. He said they're being transformed. But it's not the same kind of transformation. This transformation is not something that they're working out from the inside. This is a different word. Is their same schematic, like, is they're trying to act like this?
False.
What's that?
It's false.
It's false. Right. It's to change form, but it's to change the form. Your appearance on the outside, like we do. Well, I'm going to say we do, but we go to put on our suit and tie, pack our Bibles, get in the cars, we go to church, we do our hour, 2 hours, and then we come back and we live like the devil. That's not transformation. That's this kind of transformation. But it's not the metamorphosis that's on the inside. It's not God's idea of transformation. It's the world's idea. Because they'll look at, if you don't know me, you say, man, he goes to church every Sunday. But there's no real transformation taking place. I look like I'm being transformed because the activity, you see the activity, I'm doing things that looks like, you know what, it's real. It looks like it because I'm doing what those people do. Right?
It's like the Pharisees and the Sadducees of Christ's day when he called them the hypocrites. I think hypocrite comes from, I can't remember exactly the root word, but I think it has to do with actors in a play pretending to be something that they weren't.
Are you asking me that?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, just make it a comment. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
I don't know. I'll have to look that up. We'll have to look that out and see if that's right. But you can see that the difference. You can acknowledge that there is a difference between a genuine transformation and just patterning yourself out to be or to look a certain way. Right? Mm-hmm. And what we do, we'll wear our collar. Because I want everybody to see what I am. Or we'll, you know, wear a certain attire. You get a big Bible. Or like the Lord said, we will broaden our phylacteries. Right. So everybody say, whoa, look, did you see the size of his Bible? That must be a godly man.
With big print.
Super large print. But that's what, you know what? That doesn't mean that a transformation is going on. Right? Mm-hmm. He says, therefore, he said, it is no great, if Satan can do this, transform himself to be an angel of light, he says, there is no great thing if his ministers, what? 15, be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. It's not in there. It's pretending. And the transformation comes by when you get saved, we get saved, the Lord is in there. He's in these bodies. Right?
Right.
He's in there. Christ in you. The Godhead dwells in these bodies right now. After you say, you know what, Lord, I believe that heart transaction, he steps in. And those process words take place. Regeneration, all that takes place. And he's in there like a seed. And what grows is what grows it is this, the Word of God. One plant what? One waters with what?
The Word.
The Word. But God what?
Gives the increase.
And he's given the increase. He's in there feeding who? Himself. I mean, he's in there. And although you are being quickened, you know, you have the new man is in there, but he's enabling us to grow by this right here. Mm-hmm. Philippians. Where is he? He's in there. And he's waiting to transform you. And I thought about that because how did the Lord exist in the beginning? Well, we will look at it. Philippians 2, verse 6. Talking about the Lord who being in the form, that's it. There's that morph, the form. Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Okay, in the beginning he was in the form of God. That means he was what? He was God. Okay. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form, there, same word, morphed. He morphed or transformed into a what?
Servant.
And was made in the likeness of men. So he comes down, from his form. He transforms from God to what?
Man.
To man. And from man to a servant. I mean, it's more than that. But what my point is that there was a transformation that the Lord took on. But his transformation, the contents didn't change, but the appearance changed. The internal was the same, but the external was different, right? All right, hold your hand there and look at back, way back to John, St. John. And you know these verses. Let's St. John 1. This is just to reinforce St. John 1 and 1. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was
God.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was
God.
The same was in the beginning with God. So you know what? He's saying, in the beginning was God, the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and God was the Word. He's six in one hand, half a dozen in another. They're all the same. Verse
14.
Thank you. And the Word was made what? And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay. And the Word was made
flesh.
That's Philippians. He transformed. Put on, I think, what was it? Oh, yeah, it was Karen was talking about the law of thermodynamics. You know what? Energy is never lost. It's only transferred or transmitted. Anyway, but the Lord, you know what? He puts on a body, transforms into a man. What's in this body? He said, we beheld his glory. And so what he does is, you know what? You look at it like if I'm just full of light. Visible light. And what I do is put on a body of flesh to conceal it. That's what he did. Because we... Alright. Get to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and Matthew 17. I might get back to my notes. We're going to run out of time. 1 Timothy 6 and I said Matthew 17. Mm-hmm. All right. 1 Timothy 6. He says, and we looked at this before. He says, verse 15, which in his times, this is the Lord, he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, that is, possessor of power, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. He said, no man can what? Why? He dwells where?
In the light.
That no man can what?
Approach.
Okay. Now you think about that. Here's Paul. When you talk about Paul, I was journeying on Damascus Road, and I saw a light. He said it was what? What did he say about that light?
It was bright.
It was brighter than the noonday sun. How long can you stand there and look at the sun? The noonday sun. Think about something brighter than that, that you can't approach unto. You can't even walk to a car headlight without putting your hand up. You think about, here's the Lord dwelling. He said, dwelling in a light that no man can approach unto. Right? And all of a sudden, he takes, and that's his glory. That's, you know, a lot of things being symbolized by that. And he puts all that and he bottles it up in a container called Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, and he's walking around and nobody knows unless he shows them. Nobody knows what's in him unless he decides to show them. But he humbled himself. Now he would go through, and I think about maybe, and this is maybe, I'm not saying it in a bad way, I hope not, but he might go, he walks around Jerusalem and he just does little things to reveal that. Like I liken it to, he goes around and it's in there, and he goes around and where he's healing them and he's giving them. That's why when he's walking and the lady touches him and he says, who touched me? And they said, Lord, are you in the crowd? What do you mean who touched you? He said, no, somebody touched me. She knew something was in him that she can access. It was some transforming power in him. It's that light. It's the glory that's in there. Matthew 17. So Lord, he's walking on earth, right? And they know, you know what? We know you're a teacher from God. And he's saying this, I'm the Son of God. But, you know, and they're seeing some miracles and this and that. And he gets to a point in his ministry where they reject him. So he takes Peter, James, and John. Look at Matthew 16:21. He says, from that, all right, back to 20. He says, then charged he, oh, wow. Okay, one more go back. Back to 13. I'm sorry. 13. Matthew 16:13. He says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. He switches up. At this point, which, and we won't get into the reason for that, but 21, he says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. All right. Look, drop down to verse seven, chapter 17. And he says this, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was what?
Transfigured.
There it is. Metamorpho. He was transfigured before them, and his face did shine what? And his raiment was white as the light. So he goes up, and you know what he does? He didn't do this, but this is the only way I can explain it. He goes and he turns his shirt inside out to show them what?
The inside.
It was on the inside. He transformed himself. He goes up and he says, let me show you something.
Superman.
And he said, so you see that? I'm who I said I was. I'm who I say I am. And I'm who you say I am. Even though I'm getting ready to die. And then he puts it back on. Zips it back up. And heads to the cross. But you know what? He transformed himself. It was already in there, wasn't it? Because he was God, what? Manifested what? In the flesh. He didn't have to prove it. Did he? But he did show him that. Which is, do you have to prove that you are saved?
No.
Do you have to prove that Christ is in you?
No.
You don't have to prove it. But I'm going to say, every once in a while, somebody wants to see you turn inside out. Or you know what? Maybe your family wants to see it. I know my wife would like to see me turn inside out sometimes. She wants, you know what, to see that transformation is taking place. That you're just not, you know what, going through the activity of what transformed people do. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They want to see that. And because Christ is in you. Just like God, to know that God was in Christ, God was in
Christ.
In there. He was in there. All right, since we look at Luke chapter 20. Luke 20. Maybe it's not. It's where the Lord says, show me a penny. He says, chapter 20, I think. 24? Yeah, there you go. Verse 20, yeah, 24. He says, show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And I just wanted to use that verse because he says, whose image is on this penny? Right? That penny stood for something. Right? And Caesar was on there. And you associate that penny with who? And everything that he deserves or is. Right? Paul said this. He says that Jesus Christ is the image of God. Didn't he say that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show you he said that. Look at 2 Corinthians. Because you say, Frank said that. He said that. But when you read it, you can say, I read that. He said that. 2 Corinthians 4. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 4, verse, we'll start at verse 3. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, who's that?
Satan.
All right. Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the
image
of God, should what?
Shine unto them.
So when I see Jesus, I really see who?
God.
Don't I?
Yeah.
All right. One more. Look at Colossians.
Do you pray to Jesus? Do you pray to God?
Yeah, by default, they're not inseparable.
All right. Colossians. Verse 12. He says, giving thanks unto the Father. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be part. He has made us fit. That's. Now, you don't work up on this. You know what? He made us acceptable in the beloved, right? Okay, made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Redemption. This is Christ, who is the image of the what?
God.
The firstborn of every creature. He's the image of the invisible God. At that time, you could have dropped down and somebody could have said, show me God. And they would have to do what? They would have to point to him and say, there he is. There he is right there. Wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
All right. One more for good measure. Hebrews. Chapter 1. He says, God, one and one, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir and made. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the what?
Express
image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Jesus Christ is the, you know what? The express image of the invisible God. Everything that God is, he is. So can you imagine everything that God is, he is in that body, and he packs it in that container and doesn't show anybody. But it's in there. And he goes up to the mount and he just transformed just a little bit. He can just, let me show you a little bit of what I am. And we are just like God was in Christ. Well, you know what? Christ is what?
In us.
Paul says, this is a mystery. He said, Christ in you, the hope of what?
Glory.
Not the hope like a hope, but the expectation of glory. Paul says in Romans, he says, the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. He said, but they even the creation waits for the manifestation of us. He said, the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the
glory that is to be revealed.
Because we're waiting for that what? That transformation. And it is. She said the redemption. It's all, you know what? Redemption, adoption, it's all, see how they all fit together? They all fit together. We're waiting for that. And one day, you know what? The principalities and powers, they'll look out and then say, did you think that was in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in there. It's in here. Because he's in here. And you know what? The great privilege is that he gives us an opportunity to transform here. That's what he says. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what?
Renewing of your mind.
Transformation happens through the word. Because he's in there. And what is it? Look at Colossians. Is it Colossians? Colossians let's go with Ephesians. I know it's in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. He says in verse 17. He wants us to, you know what? He wants us to grow up. And growth is like a transformation also. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a baby, he transforms. His form changes. He morphs. He grows from a babe to what? To a full-grown man or woman. Same way in salvation. You start off as a babe in Christ and you grow. You, he wants you to grow into a full-grown, excuse me, that's what he says in Ephesians. He says, he calls it perfect, mature. And he says, this I say therefore, 17, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance, got that? Renew your mind, ignorance, that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so what?
Learned Christ.
Learn, there's that knowledge again, there's a renewed mind, you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have what?
Heard him.
Faith comes by hearing, hearing by?
The word of God.
Have you heard him?
Mm-hmm.
And have been taught by him as the truth is in that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be what?
Renewed.
Be renewed in what?
Spirit of your mind.
And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What, you know what? What matures you, what transforms you into a new, a full-grown man is what? It's knowledge.
Maturity.
It's the, what matures you is the book. Remember that, this commercial that comes on and the guy was got the cheese, he got the chart and he's got the cheese, the mound of cheese. You ever seen that commercial? And he's reading the thing, you know, and he's... he's like, I forgot what he said, but the cheese is mocking him.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm checking the cheese, and the cheese like, I'm checking the cheese. And, you know, and it's a, this is 7 days, it's 7 days old. And it's got a box there, and it says, not ready or mature, or something like that. And he keeps going, and finally he says, not ready. And he's like, check, click, the cheese is. But anyway, that's, when you see it, you'll think about this. And he can see that, you know what?
He
still
hasn't
got
been aged enough.
He's still got some growing to do. He's got some transforming. He's not mature yet. But
Well, you made mention of knowledge, but more specific is knowledge of the truth.
All right.
That goes back to the whole knowledge of good and evil. We have lots of knowledge, but if we're not putting the truth, it makes all the difference.
Now, since you segued into that, look at Titus chapter 1. He said that the new man is after God. Which after God, when he's that little after God, that means, you know what? That's what the new man's there for. Is he wants you to renew your mind. He wants you to increase in holiness and maturity. He wants you to be transformed. He doesn't want you to be saved and just stay a baby. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, here you go, Karen, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after what?
Godliness.
Not the knowledge of the truth, the acknowledging of the truth. That's why I say acknowledge is like not ACK knowledge, but ACT knowledge. I like that because it's what you learn and you act on it and it renews your mind. It transforms you.
You agree with it
and you embrace it.
Right.
And it transforms you. It matures you. It starts to change you from the inside. Because that's where he is. From the inside out. The transformation starts to take place after you acknowledge the truth. Acknowledge the truth, renewed mind, all that goes together. So if you never learn anything, guess what? Your transformation process is going to be real slow. He's going to have to do it.
Yeah.
Well, he's doing it anyway, but he's going to have to do
the hard way.
Right. But you know what? It's a privilege that you get in on this.
Yeah, sure.
Now, like Paul makes a statement in Timothy, he says, lay hold on eternal life. He's saying to Timothy, you know what? Don't just, like a guy told me, I got my foot in the door. Don't just be happy with I'm saved and I'm not going to the lake of fire. He says, enjoy this. It's, you know, enjoy what I've done. You know, I don't think I watch a lot of TV where Robin Williams, he said, seize the day. Seize the day. You know, I forgot the name of the movie, but Dead Poets Society. Seize the day. He said, you know what? Lay hold on eternal life. Enjoy this, what I've provided for you.
Well, it's like Christ said that he came that you might have life and have it more abundant. Don't just stop with you've got life. The abundant life starts now.
But you know what? All that's unlocked. You won't know if you don't read this.
Sure.
You wouldn't want to be. If you ask 10 saints, what does transformation mean? Scriptural. What does that mean? You might say, well, I don't know. But we all start off in ignorance.
Yes.
And you don't have to stay that way. He wants you to know what it means. He wants you to be a partaker of it. He wants you to enjoy it. Because it's one of those things that he's done and it's accessible to all of us. So, all right, Frank, we're wrapping up. He says it. Well, he yawned. We'll wrap it up. In Romans 8. And it's done. You know you're saved, right? You do know you're saved, right?
Right. Yep.
No matter what, right?
Yes.
I'm not saying go back and do the matter, but I'm saying no matter what, you got it. After you trust him. And he says this in Romans 8. 8:28. 8:28. He says, and we know. We do. We know. There's that knowledge again. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be transformed. Same word. Conformed, transformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now this word is morphos. That is changed together. To be changed together. To, you know what? To change me like you. And the Lord says, you know what? To be conformed, he says, I'm going to change you to be like me. Because I'm already in there. And that's what he says. When it's, I predetermined this, that you're going to be just like me. That's why he said that he'd be the firstborn. He says, you're going to be like me. In Philippians, he says that, you know what, he'll change this. You read that? He'll change this vile body to be fashioned like his glorious body, whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. And you think about, you know what? Here we are carrying this around. And you got so much power in here, glory in here. And people just see us like a cockroach. There's another cockroach. But they don't know what we're carrying around in here.
At least we ought to know.
We ought to know, right. And you know what, like, and we're done. I think about like a butterfly. A butterfly is a...
Sounds better.
Butterfly? What?
That cockroach.
Oh, yeah, okay, a butterfly. A butterfly.
He wants to be transformed from a cockroach.
Well, if you stop and you kind of open that front up, I guess you are. You know?
But a butterfly starts off as a caterpillar.
Yeah.
And he spends the majority of his life on the ground, or on, you know, munching things, or as a worm on the ground, but something happens is he goes into his little cocoon, and on the inside of that cocoon, it's him, and what he does is breaks down his caterpillarness. And inside of that cocoon, he's transformed. And you don't see it, but it's going on in there. And he's breaking down, his body is in there. And all of a sudden, when its transformation is done, he breaks out of that cocoon, and out pops
butterfly.
A butterfly.
Glorious butterfly.
And he
will never be a worm.
Never be a worm again. But he was never something that he wasn't in the beginning. He was a caterpillar, but he was a butterfly.
Yeah.
When you get saved, you know what? He's in there. You are a son of God, daughter of God, politically correct. It's in there. And even though, you know what? We don't even, that transformation is every time you come to this book, it's happening. The more you come, the more it happens. The less you come,
stunted growth.
The more you come, the more it happens. Because you know what? He's doing it. And Corinthians, he says, from glory to glory, we're changed. From glory, and it's working. And you look back 10 years, we were talking about this last week. 10 years ago, we've been thinking about Bible class. Is working. The is changing you, is changing me, is changing us, and all those who, you know what, who come here, who meet him at his point of contact, which is this book, and he transforms us more and more like him. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord who has done great things for us on our behalf. Lord, just give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you. Just to keep searching, to keep digging into your word, Lord, to see the great things that you've done on our behalf. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave himself for us and delivered us from this present evil world, Lord, and brought us unto himself. And we thank you again for the word. We thank you for the Lord. We thank you for all those who are here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Frank. That was really good.